You're listening to The Wedding Whisperer with Sarah Burton of Simply Love Studio in Lexington, Kentucky. I am going to be chatting with Jessie Latipo of Trips to Cherish. She is a chief romance officer. And if you're not familiar with what that is essentially a travel agent that specializes in honeymoons. Jessie, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Jessie and I actually talked in early 2023. You can go back and listen to that episode if you would like. We talked about all the things honeymoon related and popular destinations for last year. I wanted to bring her back and talk a little bit about what the honeymoon world is looking like for 2024. So Jessie, thank you for coming back with me. Let's start with, if a couple has never worked with a travel agent before, what are the benefits of a travel agent? Just share with folks what you do.
The benefits of working with a travel agent, there are many, and I'll talk about a few, but saves you time. You are not spending hours online looking up resorts and destinations. I send you curated lists based on what we talked about, what you're looking for. We could save you money, and I know where to shop, and I have access to things and booking engines that you will not be able to. I think my main benefit from my personal agency is I am very communicative. Before you book, I send videos, I send tips, tricks. After you book, you will never go more than 4 weeks without hearing from me. I'll send you, here's your resort, here's your room, here's restaurants within walking distance of your hotel. Every week I'm sending you new information. I think that is the main benefit. You feel ready when you get there. You don't feel lost. You know where to go and what to do.
And oftentimes the couple is, especially the bride, is planning for the wedding day. There's so many vendors to book. There's so many details, so many logistics. And the thought of having to plan something else, they can't do it. And I completely understand. And so that's why a lot of brides will turn to travel agents. And a lot of times the grooms start with their travel agents. And for couples that have never worked with a travel agent before, how do fees work? Do you charge an upfront fee? What's involved with that when it comes to money?
I used to charge an upfront fee, but now I'm telling people to wait till they know if they're going to book with me. So I'll send you some itineraries, resorts, what I do, what you can expect. And then if you decide to book with me, I'll charge you then. I used to charge it and then refund it, but I don't refund anymore, so don't pay it until you know I'm the person to go with.
Okay, and that's $100 a person?
That is $100 a person.
Okay, and that just kind of literally covers some of your time, and I can't even imagine the amount of hours you spend on flight paths, especially from our area, trying to get people places. Like, anytime I travel, even just like visit family, it's like, okay, I've got like 3 airports I can go out of. Where am I going to connect at? There's so many logistics that go with that. If a couple is planning a honeymoon and they want to get the most bang for their buck, when and how long should they plan ahead of time?
I'm telling people to start at least 6 months now. Things are booking up quickly. I thought it would maybe taper off and come down a little bit, but it hasn't. I've had resorts with 500 rooms booked 7 months out. So the earlier you plan, the better. And if you are planning something, going somewhere exotic with small little resorts like Tahiti or the Maldives where they have 30 rooms, you need to be looking about a year in advance to assure that you have selection.
And that was something that we talked about when we chatted last time, is that never used to be the case, but now people are using their vacation time and they are taking vacations and they are living life. So even though it's a little harder to plan, I'm really glad that people are taking those vacations now.
Me too.
With that many people traveling, have you seen the cost of traveling increase since the pandemic?
Yes, I do believe it has increased. I used to tell people for like a Mexico honeymoon, depending on the type of room, plan on like $2,500 to $5,000, depending how fancy you wanted to go. It's now like $3,500 up to $6,000, depending on the type of room. And that's everywhere.
Okay, so that's about a 25 to 40% increase then?
Yeah, I would say so. Also, that could be affected by people booking late. So now we have to book higher rooms. So book early where you can have more selection.
You know, I may be one of those people that likes to book last minute. It is what it is. I know it's going to cost me. A little bit about passports. I know that's always a question that especially a bride will have. So she will travel on a passport with her maiden name. And then for passports, if you're applying to get one now, how long are you seeing people have to wait for a passport?
People are waiting about 3 to 4 months for a new passport and about 2 months for a renewal. So book early. And a lot of places are adding visas coming up soon. So make sure places that didn't have them before the pandemic, a lot of them are having them now. So make sure you check to see if you need a visa.
And how would you check something like that?
You'd have to go to the State Department's website. Just go usstatedepartment.gov.
I would have never thought to do that.
Like Europe, it was supposed to start this year, but it's going to be pushed to 2025. But now every country in Europe, starting in 2025, is going to require Americans to have a visa.
So to be honest, I don't know what a visa is other than a credit card. So tell me what a visa is.
A visa is a travel visa, and it's just an extra form you have to fill out because they want to charge you more money. But it is an extra form right now, and you can't get in with just a passport. You tell them where you're staying, when you're staying, and why you're coming. And there's visas for we're going on a leisure trip, visas for we're staying longer than a month, visas for we're staying 6 months or less, and then we're moving. And you have to get a visa to get approved. You won't even be able to leave the U.S. if they require a visa and you don't have one.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's going to be a lot of work.
It is. And like I said, more and more countries after the pandemic have started.
Okay. So if you're going to Europe, especially in 2025, that'll start. So is that something you go ahead and apply for now? Or do you have to wait a few months?
You have to know where you're staying. Because they do want to know, especially Europe, people hop hotels a lot.
Yes.
So they have to know when you're going to be there and how long and then how many hotels in that area. And then if you're going to another country, like I do a lot of Italy and Greece, and you need a separate visa for both.
Well, let's not make this fun anymore for anybody. Jeez.
And that's why late booking for those places isn't going to work. You won't get your visa in time.
And so whenever you apply for a visa, how long do you think it'll take for the people to get that?
If you can do an e-visa, and most places will let you do an e-visa, you can have it in a couple of weeks, but you got to send in another passport photo and all kinds of things.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Now, there are countries that don't allow e-visas, and that will take about as long as a passport if you have to do paperwork.
And then if a couple maybe does not have time to get a passport between now and the time they're leaving for their honeymoon, what are maybe some places inside the U.S. that you would recommend they go to?
Well, if they want a Caribbean island, they could still do the USVI, the U.S. Virgin Islands, or they can do Puerto Rico. But there's some lovely places. Hawaii is great if you want beaches, obviously. I have a lot of people that like to do up north and Maine and New York. Also, California has some lovely. You do wine country, you can do the beach. Lots of great options here in the U.S. for you to check out.
Do you plan many that are here in the U.S.?
Not as many as I used to because most people are going foreign now. I still plan a few. I have a lot of dude ranch honeymoons, Wyoming and Montana and places like those. Other than Hawaii, those are my big honeymoon destinations in the U.S. Once did one of those covered wagon honeymoons. No electricity with ox pulling a wagon like they were pioneers.
You're not going to find me at less than like a Hampton Inn or a Courtyard. Let's just be honest.
I won't even do a Holiday Inn Express. Hampton or better.
Actually, the Holiday Inn Expresses, when we were in Colorado, we stayed at several and they were very nice.
They are.
So it may depend on like how new they are and stuff. But yes, I'm very particular on the starting point of my hotels and going up. So zero glamping for me.
Damn.
And then if a couple comes to you and they are open to going anywhere, they don't have anything in mind, how do you help them narrow down to come up to a solution of where they're going?
We start with their likes and dislikes. What is your ideal kind of a trip? So we start with, well, I need a beach. Narrows down a lot of places. I want mountains, again, narrows down a lot of places, but we just keep talking about it. And I like to start broad anyway. The world is your oyster. You kind of tell me what you, well, we've only got this amount of money. And I can say, well, all of these places aren't going to work. A safari, I have a lot of people that tell me they want to do a safari honeymoon, but it's about 20K. If you don't have that kind of a budget, I look for something, say, that you can have a similar experience but at your budget, maybe a Bali or a Thailand where you can still see elephants and tigers, but it won't cost as much. So that's how we work it. We just keep narrowing down choices until you're happy.
And then talking about how much those honeymoons cost, what do you think the average honeymoon is that you plan for a couple?
The average budget is somewhere between $5,000 to $10,000. I do a lot of exotics, so mine tend to be a little more expensive. For couples in the U.S., the average is between $4,000 to $7,000.
And then when it comes to paying for the honeymoon, do they pay like an initial deposit?
Usually they pay a deposit and then they can make payments after that. It all depends on what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. I prefer packages if I can so that you don't have to pay your flights up front. It really just depends on where they're going.
And then how many days do you think an average honeymoon is that you plan?
Between 7 and 10 nights.
That's a solid time frame. If they're going out of the country or maybe to like the Virgin Islands or somewhere, is there like a minimum amount of nights that you would recommend?
If you are flying more than 4 hours, you need to stay at least 5 nights. It's too long, the flights, to stay. I had a couple that wanted to go to the Maldives for 5 nights. And I said, all told, all the flights, about 40 hours of flying, and 5 nights just isn't worth it.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. It's just not worth that amount of time because they are 24 hours ahead of us, almost 23, I think. And so you lose a day automatically, and all those flights just aren't worth it if you're not going to stay at least 7 nights. So my rule of thumb, over 4 hours, you need to be there at least 5 to 7 nights. Over 10 hours, you need at least a week.
Before we get to the most popular destinations, I want to maybe talk about a couple of myths.
Okay.
That we hear on social media, our friends tell us, whatever. I always read that there are certain days that are best to book flights.
It depends on where you're going. If you are looking for a budget flight from like Lexington to say California, you might find a deal on like American or something on a Tuesday. In general,
just book the flight whenever you sit down to book it.
Yeah. In general, it's not going to help you much. Sometimes, and even if you could find a deal, you might save $5 to $10. It's not hundreds. But if you're on a very tight budget, yeah, you can wait and see. Wait till Tuesday and see. I have done it for people when they ask me, and it generally doesn't save much, though. So.
And so you say Tuesday after 3. So like 3:10, 5 p.m., 8 p.m., does it matter?
No, just say Tuesday after 3 is what everybody calls it, ask that. And I'm all, not really.
Like literally every article I read about traveling says that. So always, and I'm never going to sit down and see if it's actually true. So
a better way to do that if you want is to go to like Google and track your flights. I do that for clients all the time. And then Google will send me an email, hey, the price is going up. Or, hey, today's a good day to book because it's lower. That's better than just trying to wait for Tuesdays.
And I actually did not know that was a thing. Diane from Taipei Catering was telling me about that last week. And I was like, how did I not know you could track your flights like that?
If you really want to know every day, like if you do track a flight on Kayak, they will email you every day what the price of those flights are for that day. I wouldn't necessarily book it through Kayak, but they are pretty accurate.
So you walked me right into my very next question. Booking through third-party sites like Kayak, Expedia, Hotels.com, those kind of websites, good, bad, okay, ugly, what are your thoughts?
For hotels, it's generally fine. I want to caution you if you're doing a huge hotel upgrade, because a lot of those sites and Booking.com comes to mind, is that you pay for the upgrade. But in that long contract that Booking.com sends you, it says you are not guaranteed that room. So watch that, because I have had someone that called me very upset because they paid for a swim out and there was no water in the pool. So that's not a swim out. And Booking.com wouldn't give their money back and the hotel wouldn't move them because they booked it through Booking. It can be fine. Watch and read your contract very carefully to make sure it's guaranteed. I do not recommend Kayak or some of the others for flights specifically. You are the first people bumped if you booked through Kayak. That doesn't necessarily mean that you will absolutely get bumped, but they always start with those kind of sites to bum. If they're looking for people and these people paid directly to Delta and these people paid on Kayak, the Kayak people are who they're going to bum.
See, to me, like, I don't want to say that shouldn't be allowed. I get the point of that. But then why can the business model exist if you're not important enough? If that makes sense. Like, yeah. It drives me crazy. But I go to Expedia and figure out, like, what flights go where and then, like, times. And then I go to the actual website and book it because that tells me all of the flights that are going to be going and stuff. So
yeah, that's what I do, too. I start with Syntrav, which is similar to Kayak, but it is a travel agent only site. But I could see all the different airlines, not just the ones I'm looking at. So I could compare times and I can compare prices between them and then go to the website of the airline to book it.
And I actually have been, I don't want to say displaced, had a situation with Expedia a few years ago. It was during an event week. It was before I knew not to book through Expedia. That was kind of how I learned my lesson, but it cost me a lot of money. It was an experience, and I will never book through them again. So I've always since then tried to book completely direct.
And I've had people, well, this is $10 cheaper. Pay the $10.
Yes.
It's just better for you.
If you have a couple that comes to you, you talked about you narrow down like what they enjoy to help them find a location. If they're literally open to anything and they're like, what do you think is the best honeymoon destination out there, the most bang for your buck? What are some of the things that you recommend for them?
I think a great bang for your buck for anybody that wants like a beach vacation, I think is Punta Cana. It's got lovely white sand beaches. It's relatively inexpensive. The resorts are quite nice. So I think that's a good bang for your buck. I do a lot of Europe. I do a lot of exotics. And so I think a great bang for your buck is Italy. Italy is gorgeous. It has everything. Portugal is the same. They are less expensive than your Greeces, for instance, but they are just as pretty. So we can find you places that feel like it. And one place that surprised me last year that made my top five destinations was Turkey. It had never even been on the radar before. But Turkey made my top five honeymoon destinations of 2023. I think it was five, but I can't remember now.
Where do you think people got the idea to go to Turkey?
I think they see the hot air balloon pictures of Cappadocia. But I'm not 100% sure. But it is a very interesting destination. It is very diverse. It has got the Riviera there, the Turkish Riviera. And it is really inexpensive. I had clients come from Canada. They were in Edmonton, Canada, and they booked their Turkey honeymoon with me.
And talking about your clients coming from Canada, so you do work with couples from all over the U.S., clearly Canada. Is there like a limit to where couples can come from for you to work with?
I try to keep it North America, but I have had some people from Europe. I do a good bit of business in India, people going to the Maldives and Dubai and stuff like that. I do a lot of the Maldives, so a lot of those people come from India. So yes, I could work with anybody.
What are some of your personal favorite locations to travel to?
I really like Greece. I think Santorini is the perfect honeymoon destination. It's my favorite place on earth. I like it because you can get cave pool suites. You can get a room with a pool indoors and outdoors. And I love that because you can't do it anywhere else. I'm a big fan of unique. The Maldives has lots of unique. I do a lot of Tahiti. I prefer the Maldives, but also unique. I want people to have a honeymoon experience that they're not going to forget. And like I said, Italy. Italy is always a big favorite.
I honestly, Italy was really not even on my radar. So I will need to look at that. Portugal has definitely been on my radar for several years. And actually, I saw a TikTok a couple of days ago showing some videos from there. And it was incredible.
Stunning. And Portugal is probably your best bet price-wise. It is super inexpensive to go to Portugal.
All right. Well, I'm going to probably, I don't know that I can do that before I have to get a visa to go next year. But we'll move that up to the top of the list then.
I think their visas are only going to be $25, but don't quote me on it. That's what they were going to charge for 2024, $25 a person. But I have not seen numbers for $25.
When do you think that, going back to the visa part, when will that be open for people to start applying for if they're going to Europe or wherever?
If they start it in January, which was the last I heard, they'll probably open it up at least by October to actually book them. They had so many visas to process for Europe, especially, that they didn't get the system up in time. And so I think that's why they delayed it to 2025.
Well, I appreciate them doing that. It saved me a couple of dollars. What everyone has been waiting on, what are the most popular destinations for 2024 that you're seeing?
Last year, my top five, I think, are going to be the top five for this year.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I think so. And last year, the overwhelming top destination of 2023 was Positano on the Amalfi Coast of Italy. It had double the amount of honeymooners that went there over the next most popular, which was the Maldives. I had 20 couples go to the Maldives last year. I had 40 at least stop in Positano.
That is wild.
And I've already got like 10, 12 already booked. So I think that is going to maintain. I've already got some Maldives too. And then I think third was Tahiti. And that's shaping up what it looks like this year too. So Amalfi Coast, I think, is going to be your winner.
Wow. I don't know what I was expecting, but I don't think I was expecting it to be pretty much the same. But that's awesome. That makes it easier for you because you get the feedback from your other couples to be able to share with the couples going now and to know what's going on. And two, the one thing I really appreciate about you and your company is you post so much on your social media, on Facebook and Instagram. There's so much good education on there. I learned something in every post. You'll post the maps, which I love because so many of these countries that we talk about, I don't have any idea where they're at. And so I learn about where they're at. I learn about them, what they have to offer. So even if you are not planning to use a travel agent or if it's something you're considering, I would absolutely go follow Trips to Cherish on Instagram and Facebook because she does share some great information. She shares travel tips, packing tips, all of those kind of things. Do you have any last piece of advice for couples that are booking a honeymoon for 2024?
I like to tell people to dream separately and plan together. And what I mean by that is write out what you personally need for your perfect honeymoon. And then you get together, do a date night, and reconcile the list. A lot of times that will help you narrow down. If the bride is not going to be happy without some mountains, the groom isn't going to be happy without some beach time, that really does narrow down where you're going to go. And always number your must-haves. I must have this. I will not be happy if we don't do this. Then you could tailor the trip around those. Everything else, wait.
And that's something too, like whenever I meet with couples in our very first meeting, if they don't have a venue booked and they're just kind of getting started, I tell them to pick their top three priorities. These are the things we do not give up. We don't skip on. We put our budget toward these. And then everything else, we're a little flexible on. So that's a really good idea to do for the honeymoon as well.
Exactly. Because I have people and they want to see everything. They're going to Florence. So they want to see the David. And they want to go to Tuscany. And they want to go to Venice. And they want to do a day trip to Cinque Terre. And I'm only there for 3 days. What is the one thing you will not be happy with if you don't get to do? Because that we need to book. Other than that, when you get there, you might find things that you want to see there. So wait.
If a couple is listening and they are getting married in 2025, when should they start planning and booking?
I'm going to say you at least need to start narrowing down the destination about a year in advance. They are going so quickly now. Even massive, and I do mean massive, all-inclusives in Mexico and Punta Cana. The Hard Rock, I think, has 1,900 rooms. It was booked solid for October. I was looking at it yesterday. So 1,900 rooms, and they have nothing for my clients that want to go in October. So start looking and maybe start narrowing down as soon as you possibly can.
I'm sure that there are some couples that will be going on their honeymoon, and this may be the first time that they fly or the first time that they've been out of the country. If they're going from, in Lexington, I've flown out of Cincinnati, I've flown out of Lexington, Louisville, and then Nashville. What are some of the destinations that they can go to that are within, like, on one flight, and they can get there within, like, 3 to 4 hours that have a beach? Where are some of those kind of places?
You can get a direct flight from Cincinnati to Cancun, Mexico, Los Cabos, Mexico. We did that one. That one was about a 5-hour flight. Cancun is about 2.5. You can also do Jamaica. you can do Punta Cana. And not every day, but a few days a week during the summer, you can kind of get Bahamas into that list too. Lexington flies direct to nowhere besides Charlotte. And Louisville is a little trickier. It depends. During the summer, you can get some direct, like Southwest will do direct to those same island destinations. And they're all, like I said, about 3 hours besides Cabo. But usually it's only during the summer for those.
And then I guess talking about Louisville, the couple of times I've flown out of Louisville, it has been to Las Vegas.
Las Vegas, yes, you could do Las Vegas.
I used to see several couples going to Las Vegas. Do you see that much anymore?
I do not. The only time I do Vegas is for a bachelor party. I've never done a bachelorette party there. They all go to New Orleans or Cancun. But I've done lots of bachelor parties to Vegas. I haven't had any couples do it all last year. And I had one that did it in 2022, maybe. And they did Las Vegas, and then they did the parks, Bryce Canyon.
I guess I didn't realize that you did bachelor and bachelorette party, too.
I do. Anything romance-related. Other than destination weddings, the bachelorette and bachelor parties are about the only groups I do.
And I'm seeing a lot of bachelorette parties going to Scottsdale, Arizona here lately.
Scottsdale's awesome.
I've never been, so I don't know what the draw is. To me, I hear Arizona and I hear hot.
Very hot. I went to school in Arizona. I prefer Sedona, but Scottsdale is nice. It is very warm. When I lived there, every first day of summer, they would be frying eggs on the sidewalk.
Like literally?
Literally. And be on the front of the newspapers and stuff and on the news. It's 120 today. See?
Catch me inside that Hilton is where you'll find me there.
Yeah. But very pretty. Great for couples that want to be active. Personally, I think I would not do the summer if you are an active couple because you're not going to want to hike in that weather. It is not as bad as like 100 degrees here because it's dry and you don't start sweating the second you step out of the house. But people get dehydrated very quickly. So if you're going to that and you want to do hiking and biking and stuff, maybe the fall or the spring.
Whenever I mentioned Scottsdale, the one thing that I see all of my brides on Instagram when they go to Scottsdale, they stay in Airbnbs. Where's your head at on Airbnbs at this point? Can I tell you where my head is at? Then you can just tell me if you agree or disagree.
Yeah.
Okay. So I used to love the idea of Airbnbs, and especially if you're in a bigger group like a bachelorette party. Over the years, I have stayed in several, and I feel like whenever I check out, I have to clean the blinds and basically do everything as if, like, I'm not really sure why I'm paying a $200 cleaning fee if I'm doing 90% of the cleaning. And I have really gone back to staying in hotels for a couple of reasons. And then I've also seen a lot of horror stories on TikTok about Airbnbs with cameras in them, them being broken into, all kinds of stuff. And so I just don't feel as safe there, and I feel like they're more expensive unless you're going to be there with like a party of 20 or something on a beach that has been doing this for 20 years before it was an Airbnb type thing. Are you a hotel fan still?
I used to be a very big fan of Airbnbs, and I have come to the realization that I will no longer be booking them for people because it is usually a nightmare. I've had people have their Airbnb canceled right before they were supposed to get there. I've had people come in and say, well, it looks nothing like the picture.
I've had that absolutely happen.
And it doesn't look safe. The walkways are broken. There are rodents. You can find problems with hotels, but it's easier for me to get you to a new hotel and get your money back than it is for me to get your money back from an Airbnb. Because it goes to the owner, they have to agree to give it back. I could raise a fit. Airbnb owners a lot of times don't. But if I get really mad at a hotel, say I'm not sending anybody else back, I can get them to cooperate more. If you want that kind of experience, and I like it, I like that kind of villa experience, my suggestion is to go with someone like Villa Escapes, Luxury Escapes. They are not owned by people, they're owned by businesses, they are managed like hotels. I went to Bali, and I try to go to Bali every year to clear my brain. And I get a one-person villa with a private chef and a private masseur and a private yoga instructor and all that stuff. And I pay less than I would with Airbnb. But I also know if I get there and I don't like it, they will move me to someplace better. So go with that. If you really, really love Airbnb, I don't want to rain on your parade.
Right.
But I don't trust as much as I used to.
Absolutely.
I've had lots and lots of issues, especially in the last couple of years.
And I will say, too, when we talk about that, there are several Airbnbs here in Lexington. I know their owners, and there are several incredible ones here in Lexington that offer where couples can stay, where their families can stay. So if you do want one here in Lexington, feel free to reach out to me, and I can kind of point you in a couple of directions. This is kind of talking about the ones in traveling, like Nashville. One owner may own 50 of them, and they don't have any idea what's being taken care of, what's not, that kind of thing. So I just kind of wanted to touch on that because I do feel like that has been coming up in the last probably year, year and a half is kind of where the trust on that has gone down. So
for me too, I used to use them all the time. But since the pandemic, I don't know if they are cutting corners or Airbnb owners did take a big hit to the pocketbook during the pandemic.
As we all did.
We all did. But yes, I never had an issue until after the pandemic. I used them all the time. Especially like you said, for groups. I would even have some people go into like, well, we're going to this Naxos, and then they get Airbnb on this island, hotel on this one and that. But I'm very leery now. And I won't personally book it, but if you want to book it, I'll put that.
That says a lot to me too as well.
If I won't book it for you, don't go there.
Well, Jesse, thank you so much for chatting with me today. Is there any like last piece of advice or recommendations that you would have for couples planning their honeymoon?
Do your research. Like I was talking about the visas and stuff. A lot of stuff is coming up soon, and there's going to be a lot of changes. And you don't get your money back if you don't get to go on your trip because you didn't get your visa.
I feel like whenever I'm planning for trips, I know I've said the word TikTok 40 times during this podcast, but I spend a lot of time looking on TikTok and finding restaurants on there. Also Reddit, like a lot of the bigger cities and the larger resorts, there are Reddit threads for them. And I learn from other people what restaurants are close by, what coffee shops are good, what's not great, and who has the best Wi-Fi close by and all of those things. So like Jesse said, do your research. And if you have any questions about working with a travel agent, or want to chat with Jesse some more and just see what all she can offer you, feel free to reach out and definitely give her Facebook and Instagram a follow at Trips to Cherish. For more information about Simply Love Studio or to schedule your wedding consultation, go to simplylovestudio.com.